Good afternoon, friends, and you're listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. And I am your host, Alka, and you know when Alka comes, she brings a very, very informative show for you. So today we have the first show in a weekly series entitled Catholic Charities, New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response. I want to welcome Noel Davis from Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner in the Catholic Charities Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program responding to COVID-19. She has been the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program Manager for Catholic Charities since it was awarded by FEMA and SAMHSA to operate in response to COVID-19 in April 2020. She first became involved with disaster response work while moonlighting as a part-time emergency dispatcher during Hurricane Sandy, which opened the door to join Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Trenton's disaster response program in 2013. It was during her service to that program that she became a New Jersey disaster response crisis counselor. Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you, Alka. Hello and good afternoon to our EBC listeners.
Well, Noel, we know you had been on EBC Radio, but those who missed it, can you introduce our listeners to the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program?
Yes. On behalf of my entire team, I want to begin by thanking the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, their Disaster and Terrorism Branch, for their oversight of this regular services program, which began with 12 providers offering crisis counseling in response to COVID-19 across the state of New Jersey in April 2020, and which has been extended to continue those services to December 21st of this year. The other providers of the program include the Mental Health Association of New Jersey, Capital Health Systems, Family Services Bureau of Newark, Center of Family Services, Rutgers Center for Psychological Services, the Church World Services, Jewish and Family Services of Clifton Passaic, Richard Hall Community Mental Health Center of Somerset, and Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health Institute for Prevention and Recovery. This crisis counseling program and this radio series is funded through a FEMA SAMHSA grant, and my Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing team provides the content. I want to thank you, Alka, at EBC Studios for providing us this platform to reach the South Asian community in the northern and central New Jersey area of our program coverage. And I want to thank the leadership teams at Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Paterson, Archdiocese of Newark, Diocese of Metuchen, my own lead agency, Diocese of Trenton, for collaborating to offer this program in partnership to the residents of Sussex, Passaic, Morris, Bergen, Essex, Union, Hudson, Warren, Hunterdon, Somerset, Middlesex, Mercer, Monmouth, Ocean, and Burlington counties. I serve as a program manager, and for their efforts in making this series a success, I want to give special thanks to my team leads in each region. That's Stephanie Mata out of Diocese of Trenton, Jeanette Cullen out of the Diocese of Metuchen, Sarah Simon out of the Archdiocese of Newark, and Delia Rosario out of the Diocese of Paterson. This particular project is funded through December 21st of this year, and so we'll be providing this weekly series until that time. And the series is meant to focus on tips for mental health and resiliency, as well as resources that may be needed by those impacted by COVID-19, and within the environment created by this pandemic over the past 17 months. We will be looking to specifically tailor the content to our South Asian community listening.
Well, this is great information, Noel. Now, before we begin, if our listeners want to know more or have any questions related to needs resulting from COVID-19 impacts, how can they reach you?
Yes. So for specific needs, we invite listeners to call us at 732-204-6510. You can visit our website at catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing. Or you can email questions to hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. And we will try to answer your questions on our future shows, or we'll have a counselor reach out to you with answers.
Well, that's excellent. So again, listeners, as Noel told us, that the website to reach is catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing. Or you can also send an email, hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. So now my first question to you, Noel, can you explain to the listeners that what New Jersey Hope and Healing is and what do you offer as an organization?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, the Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, which we call CCP, is offered through 12 different nonprofit providers and social service entities in collaboration with Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and it is through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing program at Catholic Charities is a partnership of the teams located out of our different dioceses at Archdiocese of Newark, Diocese of Metuchen, Diocese of Patterson, and Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. So the program is currently responding specifically to the COVID-19 pandemic. And like I said, that's through December of this year. Disaster response crisis counseling programs in general, they're a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work, wherein ideally community members, not mental health clinicians, are trained in the CCP model to offer short-term, peer-based emotional support and information and referrals pertaining to any given disaster.
Well, that's great information. So this is a resource that I believe many did not know about. So how exactly do you deliver this program on the ground?
Yes, good question. So what this looks like on the ground is conversations where we try to check in with the general public, to be a sympathetic ear and a person to cry to or get angry with or vent stress to, just as you might do in difficult times with a friend, a coworker, or a family member. But the difference here is, one, we're trained in a best practice approach to appropriately respond to these stories and offer helpful techniques for coping. And two, because we're not a friend, coworker, family member, because our services are 100% free, confidential, and anonymous, individuals can feel free to express their true feelings without fear of a conversation following them or that they're being a burden to the listener, because this is literally our job. We also seek to create mutual community support by facilitating public education and support groups, which are mostly offered remotely via Zoom, but with some outdoor gatherings being possible lately. These are meant to address some of the impacts of COVID-19 and social distancing restrictions, and chief among them being stress and isolation.
Oh, my God. I mean, it is so stressing. Like, you know, people had been with this COVID-19 period, so much of mental stress had been there. And this is great service you're providing where people can come and talk to you or your people who are treating these kind of patients. And they can share their feelings. They can share their anger, stress, or whatever mental stress they're going through. It is excellent services what your organization is really providing. So can you give us an example of how these conversations go and what some of these best practice approaches are?
Yes, thank you. We often begin our encounters with an open dialogue about COVID-19 impacts to a person's life or their loved one. So many people just need us to listen as they talk so we can be a compassionate presence for them. We offer emotional support and affirmation wherever appropriate. Many people rarely get this kind of support and attention, and it's so important for everyone to have. Sometimes, though, individuals will come to us with a concrete need resulting from the pandemic. An example maybe would be financial needs due to a lost income. And so those participants can get just really preoccupied with the urgency of this need. So we'll first want to provide some referral information for financial relief resources we might know about so that after our conversation, they can go and seek out those providers and get that need met. Accessing those services can be a really long and difficult process. It's just very daunting. So many of those struggling with this sort of impact are people who've never thought that they would find themselves in this situation, you know, needing help. They might find themselves really overwhelmed, too overwhelmed to direct the energy that they actually need to resolve the situation. Mm-hmm. So that's when we really want to offer to dig into that stress reaction and those unhelpful emotions resulting from having this kind of unexpected financial issue while we're living in a pandemic. And we provide tips for dealing with these unhelpful emotions that might be blocking their ability to move forward in their recovery.
I think one should really, if they're really disturbed and they have so much stress or anxiety, they should sit and think and see what is wrong with them. Do they really need help? And if they think this is the time they need help, they should contact you, right? And you guys can help them out, because sometimes individual doesn't know what is really they're facing, right? So
right. Yeah, so in a lot of the conversations, we actually help participants to identify mm-hmm. that emotional response and, you know, general responses to the pandemic and the kind of negative effects that it might be having in their lives. Mm-hmm. So we can assist them in developing then coping strategies, and that can then help resolve these types of emotions whenever they occur. So something like that would be maybe a breathing technique, journaling, visualization, positive thinking. Mm-hmm. And then we would help them to develop a plan to prevent that type of negative response from occurring again in the future. So perhaps that's going to be some self-care practices like healthy eating, mm-hmm. exercise, socialization, network building. So yeah, I agree though that, you know, when I say that, some people might think, oh, breathing. Oh, that sounds very intuitive. But you'd be really surprised how effective intentional breathing can be.
Exactly.
And how few people think to implement that technique when they're actually in that moment of crisis.
Right.
And if you want, we can actually try to practice that together.
Yeah, let me ask you one question and then we can go
sure.
on that. So much of what you are saying right now makes sense and seems so simple and intuitive and yet too easy to forget when you are living with it, right? But perhaps you can explain a bit more about the types of techniques you recommend and how they work. I believe here you can talk about the techniques, breathing techniques.
Sure, right. So these breathing techniques, this is a really good example of the type of activity that we would do with someone when they're having a stress response. Mm-hmm. It can really help to, you know, calm down your mind and your body at the same time. And it is something that, people think, I don't know that can really work out well. But when you actually try it, and you practice it, right, because mm-hmm. you do have to practice it in order to think of it in that moment of crisis, it can be a wonderful, way to kind of keep your emotions in regulation. So we can try it if you want. Let's give it a shot.
Sure.
Okay, great. So I will remind everyone that we're going to use this technique whenever we are beginning to feel overwhelmed by an unhelpful emotion. Mm-hmm. Some people will call this square breathing, and that's because you're going to use a four count to breathe in and out. And so you can picture going around a four-cornered square to kind of keep track of where you are. Each breath is going to completely fill your lungs by count four. And then the breath out is going to completely empty your lungs by breath four.
So 1 second, Noel. Dear listeners,
yeah?
You're listening to EBC Radio and we are in talks with Noel. And this is from, she's going to be teaching us how to breathe and calm your mind. So please follow her instructions. And if you're at home, if you're driving, do not do that. But if you're at home, please try this exercise and it's really going to comfort you. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So we are, as Alka says, we're going to try to clear our minds of any other thoughts and really focus on this breathing. You're going to try to take at least four of these deep breaths when you do this to practice on your own, and you would continue it until you feel your emotional state shift. So I'm going to encourage everyone to try it now. So let's begin.
All right.
So we're going to breathe in, two, three, four, and out, two, three, four, and in, two, three, four, and out, two, three, four, breathe in, two, three, four, breathe out, two, three, four, last breath in, three, four, and out, two, three, four. So you can kind of feel a calm once we've done that, once we've taken these deep breaths that really fill our lungs and really empty our lungs. It's not really a practice that we do when we're regularly just breathing and not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great example of how your mind and your body are really amazingly connected.
Exactly. I did it and I really feel relaxed for 2 minutes, 1 minute, whatever we did it. And if
yeah,
we bring this in our daily practice, I think it's going to be amazing. So yes, this was really great. So I can see how these services can be helpful to so many different people. Can I ask though that what programs are you offering to the South Asian population at this time?
Yeah, so all members of the South Asian population are invited to our virtual groups and events. We offer all different types of events. Our calendar can be found on our website, which was mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We offer meditation and self-care groups on many topics, for adults. There's also story times, craft times, games for children and families, and they are occurring throughout the week. But we also partner with community partners and any kind of pre-existing groups that might be specific to a certain population. So we will develop content that actually meets the needs of those specific providers in those communities. I would say then that if there are any interested providers that are listening, the members of the South Asian community, we really want to invite you to reach out to us so that we can partner with you to serve the needs of your community and your consumer base really specifically.
It occurs to me that many of the topics we are discussing are the same as what we discussed back in sometime earlier you came on a radio. So is it hard to believe that we are still dealing with this pandemic after a year and a half? And now we see that the end may be further away than we hope because of the Delta variant. I have seen that many people are losing patience, but do not seem to want to acknowledge that this is actually a mental health need. How can we encourage the members of the community to seek help with their mental health?
Yes, impatience and frustration are very common and understandable responses to this situation, especially now after such a long time dealing with this disaster, mm-hmm. as it is also really uncomfortable to be the recipient of help rather than the provider of help, if that's the role that you're used to playing. So I find that when someone considers themselves the strong one, they may not want to actually receive help or emotional support. Perhaps they may be thinking that accepting this kind of help or acknowledging a need for it is somehow an admission that they're not as strong as they or others think. And I'd like to bust that myth, present an alternative in which I invite those individuals to see utilizing a program like this as strength maintenance, as a way of shoring up your foundation to fortify your own emotional health against a more difficult changing environment, especially because of the unknown future with the rise of the Delta variant, even among vaccinated individuals. It is important to take the time now to build resiliency, to be ready for these continued impacts from this disaster in our community. And, you know, it might be cliched, but I'm going to turn to an old adage here and remind everyone that seeks to be the helper in their community, mm-hmm. that you cannot fill someone else's cup from your own if your own cup is empty. So if you come to my program to fill your cup with the tactics that improve your mental health, you might also just learn a stress reduction technique or two that you're going to be able to pass on to someone else that relies on you.
Exactly. So I looked at your monthly calendar on your website. I see all these helpful sessions that you are offering to the community. I feel that only sharing the calendar may not motivate people to attend or sign up. So what will be your advice so that people are comfortable in exposing their vulnerability and difficult situation in a group? Could you share any ideas or examples where you have had success in providing disaster relief in communities?
Yes, and I want to thank you for this question because you are so right. In so many communities and with so many individuals, they have an inherent suspicion towards new people, especially when it comes to opening up about emotional issues. And this is why we organize our groups around a topic or an activity that is going to first unite the attendees. Because you would be really surprised how quickly a conversation about maybe cooking tips among those that cook for self-care can turn into a story about how you need to teach your children to cook, and then sadness about how you've maybe not been able to share this activity with your grandchildren this past year because of all the COVID restrictions. Mm-hmm. And then you might hear that same sentiment echoed back from another participant, and that can be really comforting and very bonding. But for those who are not inherently joiners, and they're just unlikely to log into any kind of conversation among strangers, regardless of the topic, we found that the community partnerships are key. So whenever we're invited into a pre-existing community, even if someone is not thinking of themselves as a community, we have had really great success. So an example of that would be in our Patterson region. We made presentations to the parents and staff of a preschool about how reading to your small children can be a way to talk to them about difficult topics like the pandemic. By the end of the initially scheduled sessions, the group had shared a bunch of stories and they really solidified themselves as a supportive community. And many didn't even realize that that community was there all along. Mm-hmm. So I will renew that ask to anyone in a pre-existing group, whether it's a PTA or a book club or just a group of parents that meet up on the bus stop. you can reach out to our programs and see what we might be able to do for your group and your community.
So what is your final message to people that are going through the stress of COVID-19 impact, whether it is personal experience with the virus, grieving over losing someone to the virus, or lost income due to changes in our economic system resulting from our societal response to the virus?
I want to extend my compassion and my empathy to anyone in that tragic situation. And I want to say that it is okay if you feel sad or guilty or angry or frustrated or powerless. I want you to know that you do not have to bear that difficult time alone, because you're not alone. New Jersey Hope and Healing is here and ready to support you and to help you find support within the larger community. You should please continue to join us here at EBC Radio weekly on Tuesdays at 3:30 p.m. to become educated about tips and techniques to combat the mental health impacts of COVID-19, and to hear about all kinds of great resources that are going to assist you in a variety of other needs that might be resulting from COVID-19. So, for instance, we know that traumatic and high-stress events like a disaster can provoke people to lean on unhealthy coping mechanisms. And for some, this can turn into substance abuse. So next week, we're going to discuss that topic with Wellspring Center for Prevention. Mm-hmm. And any other number of wonderful things that I'm sure will be brought up in that conversation.
Well, Noel, thank you very much for your time and for sharing all these wonderful resources that are funded for the South Asian families. I feel that the takeaway here is to reach out for help. Remember that if you are or a friend or neighbor need help, please call 732-204-6510. That is again 732-204-6510. Help and support is only a phone call away. We are still living in a pandemic. Please remember to social distance and be vigilant. Please get vaccinated. That is the best way to get us back to normal times. Do not forget to tune in again next week and send us questions and topics ideas to hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. That is hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. Or you can send a WhatsApp message to EBC Radio 732-297-9886. If you have any concerns, any questions, or you want to touch base on any topics, your questions can be forwarded to them. So with that, Noel, thank you so much for giving us such a precious time and sharing your good knowledge to our listeners, and looking forward to having you more and, more guests coming on EBC in this series.
Great. Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.